Good morning. Welcome here to First Baptist Church. I've noticed a few new faces in the crowd this morning, and we're glad to have you with us today. Should you need a restroom, you go out the doors and past the stairwell on the right and the hallway that goes back that way, you'll find bathrooms and a water fountain. And hopefully you will find the Lord in this place. That is our desire to encounter him this morning. We have several announcements before we begin our time of worship. I will remind you that next Sunday on February 23rd, we will have Scott Stevens from the Texas Baptist Missions Foundation. They have a program regarding helping you to set up a free will so that you have things in order when you pass for your family to be taken care of. And there will be a workshop next Sunday after the morning service. Dr. Scott Stevens will be here in the pulpit in the morning, and then in the afternoon will be a workshop for those that would like to sit, and there will be question and answer time. There is a sign-up sheet at the Welcome Center. If you are planning to be here, please let us know. We will be having a light lunch after the service so that we're all here on campus, don't have to leave and come back. So there will be a light lunch, and it will help us to know you're desiring to be there. So please sign up for that. The Guadalupe Baptist Association Golf Tournament, it's an annual tournament that Brother Walter Jackson has been utilizing to help be a fundraiser for some of the projects that are needed there at the Guadalupe building. There's been a foundation situation and building is cracking and walls have had to be painted and things replaced. So those funds help to make sure that we can accomplish those renovations. The tournament is going to be on Saturday, March 15th. That you might say, well, that's a whole month away. It is, but he's going to have a deadline earlier than that date so that he can get accommodations made and make sure we have enough teams to play. And so the tournament will be at Colony Creek Club in Victoria. If you're able to play, please see the information. It is also at the Welcome Center. There's also opportunities for sponsorships. If you don't feel like playing, but you'd like to help support a hole or make a donation to the association, you can do that. The deadline is March 7th, so that's coming up on us rather rapidly as it is. There are also other sign-up sheets there. The Upwards Baptist Basketball Ministry continues to go on. We have a couple more weeks. There are sign-up sheets for those who would come and sit in the foyer during practice times Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday. And then there's also concession stand sign-ups for those to help in the concession stand during the games on Saturday. Please go by there and sign up on slots. That helps us to be able to accommodate the ministry as we're going through it. And listen, the season's coming to an end, but it's been a marvelous time of being able to engage with our community. So I encourage you to be a part of that. Read your bulletin. There are lots of things going on there. In fact, the announcement regarding the free will presentation on next Sunday is in there. Take that with you. Pray over that. Please let us know in the office so we can get you signed up. Memory verse for this month is out of James chapter 4, verse 17. Last week, please stand, yes, we talked about the meaning of this verse. It is addressing sins of omission. We think about things that we do that are wrong, but there are also some things that we ought to do that we don't do. And according to this verse, out of God's word, it tells us that if we do not do right, then it is sin to us if we know what it is that's right. So let's look at this verse together, embedded in our hearts as a way to help guide us through life. Therefore, to one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is sin. James 4:17. Let that get planted in your heart. We always think about, well, don't do something wrong, but when it's time to do something right, there's an accountability for that as well. God bless you this morning. Our deacon this morning, Robert Clay Martin, will come and lead us in prayer as we begin worship this morning.
Morning. Let's pray. Father God, thank you, God. Thank you for this church, Lord. Thank you for these people. Thank you that it's full this morning, Lord. Thank you for the babies and kids that we hear in here, Lord. Thank you for that, Lord. Lord, thank you for church staff, Lord, for their families, Lord. Thank you for this choir behind me, Lord. Father God, we thank you most of all for Christ Jesus. Thank you for taking our punishment on the cross, Lord. We ask that you be with us as we have this time to remember that, Lord. Remember what you did for us on the cross, Lord. We ask that you prepare our hearts and forgive us, Lord, and just clean us, Lord. And Lord, we thank you for the Upward Basketball Ministry, Lord. We thank you for the participation the last few weeks, the last 5 weeks, Lord. And we ask for the next weeks, Lord, to you to be glorified, Lord, and for the gospel to be presented, and for more people to come into your kingdom because of this ministry, because of learning about you through this ministry, Lord. We ask that relationships to be built, Lord. And Lord, just speak through Brother Robert this morning, Lord, and teach us this morning, Lord, and just make our hearts and minds open to what you have for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Good morning. Join us as we sing I Believe.
I believe there is one salvation, one doorway that leads to life. One redemption, one confession, I believe in the name of Jesus Christ. I believe in the crucifixion, by His blood I have been set free. I believe in the resurrection, hallelujah, this life is destined.
Walk away from the one who saved my life. from heaven's own, you came to us and set your heart upon the cross. We'll never know the sacrifice you made. For all our sin and all our shame, you took the nails, you took our place. No one else could do what you have done.
Hymn number 365.
Gracious Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the blessings of this day and what it's about to bring us. I pray and lift up Brother Robert to you as he brings the message to us. Let him speak to each and every one of us, our heart, our hearts. And may we apply it as we go through the remainder of the week. And the way we treat others, may we love others. We thank you, Lord, for this time. Heavenly Father, it's in your name we pray. Amen.
Sins away, slain for us.
Thank you, Houston and Choir, our instrumentalists, for their work today. We have before us today the Lord's table. We will observe the ordinance, one of two ordinances in the Baptist Church, of the Lord's Supper. We will observe as a time of worship, and it requires that we find this time as an opportunity for reflection and then also commitment. Lord's Supper was established by the Lord Jesus Christ during the time of his last Passover celebration with his disciples before his crucifixion. And the Passover was that Jewish observance, a celebration, if you will, of God's deliverance out of the bondage of Egypt, way back when Israel was held there for some 400 years. And it was also an opportunity to look forward to a final sacrifice that would be offered for salvation. They were to, in that land in Egypt, the instruction God gave them through Moses was to take a lamb and to make it a firstborn lamb, and it was to be unblemished. It's not to have any kinds of marks or spots, and it was to be eventually slaughtered. The blood of that would be put on the doorpost of the home. And whenever the death angel came to kill all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, it would pass over the homes of those that had the blood ring on their dwelling places. And this very clearly points to a day which has really occurred, where Christ has come. We sang just a moment ago, the Lamb has come and he has offered himself up as a sacrifice. His blood has been spilled, and upon every home or dwelling place of a person that has the covering of the blood of Christ, you have life. You have the promise of life. The second death cannot touch you. And that is the great strong promise of God through Christ. And this is what those Old Testament saints look forward to without knowing all the details. Now that we're on this side of glory, we see the details. We can see what God was intending through that. And we can see how Christ took this Passover observance and transformed it into a remembrance for us. And so it's what we're to do. We're to be prompted as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ to remember the sacrifice of Jesus, the Lamb of God, and also another component, to look forward to a coming kingdom. And I want to concentrate on that kingdom idea this morning. And Matthew chapter 26 is just one of three very clear. Every one of the gospel accounts presents the Lord's Supper, but the three synoptic gospels give us the setting and the main details in that setting. And so this morning we'll refer to Matthew's gospel. Let's stand together as we read verses 26 through 29 of chapter 26 in Matthew's gospel. It reads this way: while they were eating, Jesus took some bread, and after a blessing, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for forgiveness of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on, until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." Let's pray together. Our Father, we acknowledge this morning a time of intentional introspection, but also remembrance, Father, of your great work in our midst. Your work of sacrifice to pay the penalty of sin for those who believe. And Lord God, for us to never forget that. We pray this morning, Father, your Spirit will be real, and Lord God, will be unmistakable that we've been in your presence today. Through this word, by your Spirit, Father God, touch hearts. Help us to truly worship you this morning as we observe you in these elements. And Lord God, can contemplate the reality of all that is before us as a result of your work through Christ Jesus. And this we pray to your glory this morning, Father, in the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Now, I mentioned just a moment ago, this is one of three very clear, concise passages in the New Testament, especially in the Gospels, where we find the account of this ordinance, the Lord's Supper, and the institution of it. Matthew's account, we read those words where Jesus promised, "I will not drink again of the fruit of this vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." In Mark's account in chapter 14, verse 29, actually verse 25, the words are recorded this way, "I shall never again drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." And then Luke's account, Luke 22:18, says, "I will not drink from the fruit of the vine from now on until the kingdom of God comes." Now, I'll remind you, Luke's account also includes something different than the other accounts, and that is, "Do this in remembrance of me." Jesus said, "When you do this in the future, do it in remembrance of me." The Apostle Paul recalls that in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 as he's instructing the church at Corinth about how to properly observe the Lord's Supper. It's not just a big feast where you bring your own food and you eat in front of the poor. It is a time of a communion where we together remember our Lord's sacrifice. And so we're to do it in a remembrance. It is to contemplate what Christ has done and the significance of it. As a true believer, every time I take of these elements, I am reminded of all that Christ did to purchase my salvation. Now, he purchased the souls of many. This was his purpose, for the ransom of many souls. But I take it personal as I sit before this table and I take of these elements that Christ died for me and he rose from the dead to assure that he could purchase my salvation through his death and resurrection, and would give me the promise of a resurrection one day as well. So, with that in mind, we're called to do this on a regular basis. The scripture never tells us how often. It doesn't tell us how to do it except to do it in remembrance. We have only to go by what Christ has given us, the several elements that are present at a Seder or the Passover meal. He takes two of the elements. And listen, there's more than one cup, and there's bread, but then there's other items. And he only picks the bread and the juice, the fruit of the vine, to represent what he was going to do. And remember, when he instituted it, he hadn't yet died. The disciples were going to have to remember these words and then think on them and then institute this ordinance after he had gone. And we're not told how often they did that, as often as they met. And this is kind of what the scripture tells us. And so as often as we meet together at this table, we're to remember him and this sacrifice. And we're to contemplate what it means. What does this bread mean? He said, it's my body. Some believe when you eat it, it becomes the body of Jesus. Jesus doesn't die over and over and over again. In fact, Jesus would have to violate his own word where it says, "Do not eat the flesh, do not drink the blood." The Old Testament tells us, "Don't drink blood, don't eat meat with blood in it." So that it would be a contradiction of his own word. It is a symbol. It's a representative for us to consider what Christ did in giving of himself. And as we eat of the bread, we think of his body being given up. As we drink of the juice, we think of the blood that was spilt. And it took blood to secure a covenant. And Christ was reminding his his followers, I'm sealing this covenant with my blood. This is what we're to recall. Christ not only died for us, but he sealed a covenant, a promise that he would never break with those who believe upon him. And yet there's another component to this ordinance that we look at and we should keep in mind as we partake. And I mentioned it a moment ago as we read this passage found in verse 29 of our text. Jesus said, I will never drink of this fruit of the vine again until I drink it new with you in the kingdom, the Father's kingdom, in the kingdom of heaven. Or as Mark said, when the kingdom comes. Now when Christ came, he had a forerunner, John the Baptist. If you'll recall, as John the Baptist came on the scene, he spoke. And the beginning of his ministry in Matthew chapter 3, in this very gospel, verse 2, he made a proclamation to the people, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You go another chapter or so, chapter 4, verse 17, and Jesus, as he begins his ministry after his baptism, it says the same thing about him. He says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That means it's coming. And it's even in your midst. As Christ came, the king was with us. And he was ushering in a kingdom. And here in this time, before he goes to the cross, he says, I won't drink again until the kingdom comes. So we know he is just letting us know a kingdom is coming, and it's a different kind of kingdom. And we should be aware of that. Even the writer of Hebrews, as he writes about the Old Testament saints, he testified that they were looking forward to a different kind of country. Let me read out of Hebrews 11, verses 13 through 16. If you have your Bibles, you can look along. All these died in faith, and it's speaking about those who were faithful to the Lord God, and they followed the Lord knowing that he had given a promise to them that they were going to be in a land, that he was going to deliver them, and they never really fully achieved it, but they followed him anyway. All these died in faith without receiving promises. But having seen them and having welcomed them from a distance and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. That's important. The Hebrew writer is saying these of the Old Testament saints were looking forward to a time when a new kind of kingdom would be in place. For those who say such things make it clear they're seeking a country of their own, a different place. And indeed, if they had been thinking of that country from which they went out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God's not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. It's not an accident or mistake that Jesus, in his last instructions to the disciples in the Gospel of John, he says, I go and prepare a place for you. Well, that's in the kingdom. I'm going to prepare a place, and I'm going to go and do that so that when I come back, I'm going to bring you to myself so that you can be with me in this kingdom. The instruction fits together. Nothing's contradictory. There is a place. This world is simply a temporary place. We find that theme in the New Testament. The Apostle Paul, in several places, he encouraged churches saying, this world is not our home. This place is temporary. We're aliens and strangers in this land. Peter concurred with that. Paul wrote, our citizenship in heaven. Listen, if you're a believer, you dwell here for a season. But this is not our home. This is simply a place where we dwell in tents. One day we'll be in a home, a place that is our dwelling place, a real dwelling place, the heavenly home in his kingdom. Because we'll be children of the king. That doesn't mean that while we live in this world, we just don't care about stuff. We have a stewardship. God has gifted us, poured out his Holy Spirit upon us, given the instruction of his truth, and he set forth a foundation for us to live like our God in heaven. I mean, the instruction is be perfect like your God in heaven is perfect. Wow, is that not an assignment? It's a big one. But it's in preparation for a kingdom that he is preparing for us until we get there. And when we come to this table, we're encouraged to look forward to that kingdom as well. Remember the sacrifice of Christ. And know there's a kingdom that he's promised that we're going to be part of. The believers of Christ were exhorted, they were challenged, charged, walk by faith and not by sight. Consider that to be at home in the body is to be absent from the Lord. But to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. This, so many are fearful of death, and rightfully so, it's a scary thing. I heard a preacher once say, I'm not scared of being dead. I'm scared of getting dead. Right? Because there's a lot involved in that, right? So being dead for a believer is going to be a comfort. It's going to be a deliverance from this current difficult land in which we live, and the troubles and the sin and the temptation and the hardship. Those things will finally be nothing to a believer because you'll be delivered from those. The balance we must find is that even though that's true, I don't go and harm myself to get out of this world, to hasten my departure. I serve until that day. And the disciples believed that. Now listen, most of the disciples of Christ, those immediate disciples, were martyred. And the only one that's reported historically not to be martyred was John. And that's because they couldn't kill the guy. They boiled him in oil. He didn't die. So they put him on the island of Patmos. And he still wrote the letter of Revelation by the marvelous miracle of God so that we'd have record of what God holds for us in the future. And all of it is to remind us, this isn't home. Not yet. Now listen, Scripture tells us in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, one day a new heaven, a new earth, and a new Jerusalem are going to be formed. They'll be sinless without the tainting and the corruption and the decay of sin and trouble. It's going to be a whole different place. So we've got something in the works. And it's his kingdom. And this should excite us that even as we look at, and it's hard for me to take of these elements and not weep in my heart for the sacrifice Christ made on my part. I'm broken when I think of Christ's death. It took death to free me. Took death to free you. And an innocent party on top of it. Christ Jesus didn't deserve the death to feel the wrath of God, the wrath of man, the wrath of the devil, but he did. That's how far he went. It's of great importance. He wanted to bring us into this kingdom, and he did what was necessary to do so. And when we take of these elements, we should never forget his sacrifice. And at the same time, we should never forget where we're headed. The saints of the Old Testament were reminded in the book of Hebrews, they looked for a new country. They looked for a place where it was going to be a new land. And they wouldn't have to deal with the stuff they dealt with in the old place. That's hope. That's what we have. Your hope is in Christ. He is your hope, believer. That his promise made was that we have this place he's preparing for us. And it's his kingdom. The kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. It's a place that God has declared, predetermined, will be in place at a predetermined time for us to be there. I praise the Lord that he's got all that planned. Right? He's a good planner. We're fixing to do some workshop for wills. You're smart if you plan for after you're not here. Man, for eternity. The Lord is taking care of this plan. If you just trust Christ and trust yourself to him and let him have your life, he's got a kingdom in store. Man, when you read through Peter in the first chapter of his first letter and you find out what this inheritance is all about, riches, man. You get in the book of Revelation with all the scary stuff people are freaked out about. He talks about the glory of heaven. Now, marvelous it's going to be. This kingdom's something else out of this world. It's beyond our imagination. And really, all we can do is imagine. So we take these elements. Remember the sacrifice of Christ. Don't forget his resurrection from the dead. That validated everything that he said, his sacrifice itself. And because of that, we humble ourselves before his mercy. We thank him for that grace to pardon us in spite of guilt. We commit that when we hear his word, we're not just going to be hearers of the word, but doers of the word, and allow it to penetrate us, no matter how uncomfortable and hard it can be sometimes, but to trust him. This is our commitment to him. It's also an expression of gratitude as we obey him in doing what his word says and then trusting him with all the things we can't see. And as a result of that, then we worship him. We give him the adoration and the praise, the thanksgiving, the glory, the honor, all that he respects, he deserves. We give him that. And we trust and anticipate in a future deliverance, even in our own experience, from temptation and sin and sorrow and trouble and disappointment and eventually death. He's promised that we're ushered into a kingdom, a place. And Christ is going to be waiting there so that he can drink of the fruit of the vine with us one day when we're all together in that place. So, as kingdom is future, we're called to patiently wait. And that means to serve in the meantime. My mom was a waitress. All the years that I knew her, except for about 3 years, she worked as a receptionist in an office. But most of the rest of the time, she was a waitress in a restaurant. And she worked at the worst times in the world, 10 at night till 6 in the morning, most shifts, which is when all the drunks got out of the lounges and the bars and they came to the restaurant to eat so they wouldn't be sick in the morning. And you can imagine, maybe you can't, but I was there to clean off tables. People were gross. My mom served. She was a waitress, but in waiting tables, she didn't just sit back. She served. As we wait on the Lord, we serve. He's given us great privilege and honor to do so. He's gifted us and enabled us to be able to do it to his glory. And he lets us experience the joy of serving one another. When he does marvelous things through things that we do, it's like, wow, how did that really happen? Because the Lord was in charge of that. We get to experience that. And so while we wait and we anticipate that day and we do it with patience. You know, at the right time, the Lord's going to bring each of us individually to himself. And then we're going to be in the kingdom that he's preparing together. And while his kingdom's future, we wait. And while we do, we obey his commands and we observe this ordinance. This is the table of the Lord. It's not First Baptist Church's table. It is not the Southern Baptist Convention's table. It is the Lord's table. And it's for those who've been confronted with their guilt. God's word reminds us all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. There's a price to pay for being a sinner. And since we've all sinned, there's a price to pay. And you either try to pay it yourself or we depend upon someone else. And that's why Christ came to die, to pay the price of that sin, because we couldn't. At least not satisfactorily before the Father. Christ satisfied the Father's righteous anger and wrath against sin through his death. He was perfect and righteous and sinful, and he validated it by raising Christ back from the dead. We can trust him with our lives, with our sin. And we can trust that he grants forgiveness of that sin when we come to him and yield ourselves to him. Romans 10:9 says, if you will confess Jesus is Lord, confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord. To me, that means to pray. Call out to him. You might say, well, I don't know how to pray, Pastor. You know, because you're a public speaker. The Lord I thought was making a giant mistake calling me to be a pastor. My mouth was not used for holy things before I came to know Christ. But God knew what he was doing. And sometimes my prayers are so simple. If you were riding with me in my car sometimes, you'd hear my prayers much different. There's a prayer in the Bible where a man just stands before the Lord. He bows his head and beats his chest and said, "Oh Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner." And God heard that. Christ said that man was justified. You know what? Call out to God for forgiveness. Yesterday I testified I was a really good kid. I was good. I was self-sufficient. I was polite. I was moral. But there are some people saying I've never been good. You know what? My being good wasn't good enough. And even if you've killed somebody, even if you've committed adultery, even if you've stolen or lied, your sin's not too big for the sacrifice Christ gave. His death covers everything we can possibly think of. The only sin he doesn't forgive is unbelief. If you fail to believe him, there's no hope for you. And there was a period of time, I was 19 before I finally believed, and I was hit with the gospel a couple of times in that period of time, and it just didn't click. But finally it did. And everything that I ever did up to 19 and beyond that and into my future even has been covered by the blood of Christ. And he's promised me a kingdom. Listen, if you've never trusted Christ Jesus as Savior, Lord, I would plead with you today. Trust him. Because there's no other hope for you in this world. None. If you have trusted Christ, you might be saying, "Well, I'm carrying some things and I'm harboring some things and the blood of Christ, don't forget it. You were saved by it." 1 John 1:9. The apostle speaking to the church said, "If you confess your sin, he's faithful and just to forgive you your sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness." Christ's death was sufficient for your sin. Nothing's too small, nothing's too big. Trust him. He's faithful. Good or bad, he can take care of that. Listen, the Apostle Paul wrote, before we take of the supper, in 1 Corinthians 11, he said, "Let a man examine himself. Look inside yourself, but depend heavily upon the Lord God to reveal to you what might be in your life that you need to lay before the Lord today. Lay before the cross." The wonderful thing about Christ is he doesn't judge us if we depend upon his blood, because he's been judged for that. But if you leave it to yourself, you will be judged on your own merits, and then you'll find trouble. Trust Jesus. We're going to take time to examine ourselves, make sure we're ready for this table this morning. So I'd ask you to bow at this time. Father, as we prepare our hearts, Lord God, to take of these elements to remember your death, to look forward to your kingdom, we pray that your Spirit would have freedom to move in our hearts. And Lord God, to cleanse us based upon the blood of Christ. Father God, for hearts that haven't yet trusted you, I pray that you would draw them to yourself. Lord God, they would hear and experience that stirring in their heart where they know they're under conviction and need to trust you. I pray, Father, have your way with us this morning and be glorified as we prepare to worship through this ordinance. In the name of Christ, I pray. Amen. Let's stand together. If you need to come kneel at the altar, please do. If you need to come have with me, I'd be glad to take care of that before we take these elements. Father, we thank you for time of reflection. We thank you now, Father, for opportunity to worship through this ordinance. And Father, I pray your presence in this place draw us near to you as we observe and remember your sacrifice for us through Christ. It's in his name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I ask our deacons to come at this time as we prepare to distribute the elements. To remind you that in Matthew chapter 26, a passage we read earlier, Jesus Christ had his disciples with him in that upper room, and he took the elements out of the Passover observation of bread and the fruit of the vine, and he used those to provide this ordinance to remember his body and his blood given for our sin. And so, as we take of these elements, may we give him honor this morning. you're not familiar with these fancy little cups, the bottom portion holds the bread. And if you'll gently open that cap to reveal the bread. Before we take of it, Christ Jesus took the bread and he broke it and he blessed it. And then they ate together. Father, as we take of this bread, we acknowledge that it's unleavened, which the scripture reminds us is without sin. Lord God, your body was given up and it was sinless for us. We thank you for being an appropriate, sufficient offering that would be the final offering for our sin. Lord God, as we eat this bread together, we remember you. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen. Let's eat. Carefully open the juice. Scripture reminds us that in the same way Jesus took the cup and he blessed it. In fact, that cup was called the cup of blessing. And he blessed it. Father, I pray that as we drink of this juice, fruit of the vine, the Lord God, you would remind us and that we would not forget the spilled blood. Christ's death that's so precious to cover our sin and to make us clean before you. Lord God, thank you for such a sacrifice. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Let's drink together. Brother Houston will come now and close us out. We do have church conference this evening, so we encourage you to come be a part of the business end of our ministry. And I'll see you in the hallway. God bless. It's good to see y'all today.
Could you please stand as we close with the family of God?
I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the family.